Welcome to What's New with SharePoint 2010 for Developers. My name is John Wiese, ISV Architect Evangelist, and what I'd like to show you today is Silverlight. In particular, we're going to dig into the Silverlight object model, the client object model that is new in 2010, and show you some ways that you can use that to visually enhance your SharePoint sites. Let's go ahead and start by looking at what it is I'm going to implement today. What you see here is a simple list that I've created inside SharePoint. It's actually a contact list. I've created a few entries just to give us something to work with. I have the names, company, phone number, email, your typical contact list information. And what I want to do is I want to make it look prettier than just this list and being displayed in SharePoint. So if I go back to my home page, you'll see that I have a Silverlight part. And what I've done is I've actually stylized the list box and made that list look a lot nicer. Now, one of the other things that's interesting is we can actually have this installed on my local computer. And the application will start up. And you'll see here that I'm running the application out of browser and having that same look and feel and the ability to now have my SharePoint list brought offline, or not necessarily offline, but out of browser and accessed from the desktop without having to go through Internet Explorer or Firefox or any browser that I have to access SharePoint. So let's now dig in to how we did this within code. We're going to begin in Visual Studio. The first thing we're going to do is create a new Silverlight project. So just a basic Silverlight project, and I'll call this Silverlight contact list. And we're just going to go with the defaults. The first thing we need to do to use the Silverlight client object model is add some references. So if I go ahead and add reference, we'll have to browse. And just to make a note here, in case you aren't familiar with the file structure, in the program files directory, under common files, under Microsoft Shared, web server extensions, 14 for the version of SharePoint that we're using, and then template layouts and client bin, we'll find two client Silverlight DLLs. So we have the client Silverlight DLL and the client Silverlight runtime, which we'll need to add into our project. Now that those are referenced, we can use the client object model, and we'll add a using statement later into our code. But before we get into the code, what I do want to do is go ahead and set up my list box here. So I'm going to just copy and paste this in from a different project so that you can actually see this here. Very simple XAML here. I have a stack panel inside my grid. I have two things inside that stack panel. I have a text box, or a text block, which I use for error messages, which is by default hidden or collapsed. And then I have a list box. And the list box is what I'm going to use to bind to and style. So I have my data template for my list box. I'm going to have a border, which everything is inside of. I've set up my grid information here to have two columns. And then I have my control, my stack panel control, that is actually holding my data. So I have a name property, a phone property, and email that I'd like to display. So that just kind of stylizes it. You can dig into that a little bit more in the posted code that I'll attach to the screencast that you can download and play with. Now that we've got our UI created, we can actually dig into the code. So we'll go back here into our main page XAML. And the first thing we need to do is add some usings for our Silverlight, our SharePoint client. So we're going to add that. And then just to kind of differentiate where I'm using the SharePoint object model, the Silverlight client object model, I'm going to do this as well so that you can see these specific items. And I'll just use SP as an alias for that. So back when we were looking at the finished product, if we go back into that and we see our team members list, you see that there's some fields that we want to pull through. We want to pull through full name, email, phone, which actually is work phone in the actual UI, That comes back in the control list. And image URL, we can dig into if we wanted to pull an image. So if we jump back over to code, we need to somehow replicate this for use within our application. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a new class, and that class will house the information that I need. So here I have a class that houses the name, the email, the phone, and the image properties that I'm going to use to house all the information about each team member that I'm pulling back from my list. Now we've done that, I do have a couple of local class variables that I'm going to need here. So here you can see I'm using SP, which is the alias for my SharePoint client object model, and I'm creating a local web, a local list, and a IEnumerable, so that I can walk through the list, of list item. So this will house the information that I'm pulling down from SharePoint. We go into main page now, into our constructor. We're going to do a couple of things here. We're going to, first of all, wrap things in a try-catch so that we can actually catch our exceptions and display those to the user. And I'll add that code in a minute. And then we can begin writing our actual code. So the first thing we have to do is grab a client context. But as you saw in my sample of the finished product, we'd like to be able to go out of browser with this as well. So I'm going to move back up here, and I'm going to create a client context up here to house my context. And then what I'm going to do here in my try is I'm just going to go ahead and say if my app is running out of browser, then I want to tell it where I'm trying to connect to. So I'm going to set my context equal to a new context, and I'm going to give it a URL to my server. So in this case, this is my local box. But if it's not, so if I'm not running out of browser, I'm running in browser, then I'm going to assume that I'm running inside the context of SharePoint. And then in that case, I can actually set my context equal to into the actual application context, the current application context, and the URL that is associated with that. So it will basically set that equal to my server that I'm running inside of. So now we have a context that we can use. The first thing we need to do is connect to our web and get our site. So here we're just going to say underscore context dot web, and that will go ahead and get us that reference. And you notice that what we've done here with the client object model really is taken all of the stuff that you used to do via web service calls, and we've put them into a client wrapper essentially, so that you can write simple .NET code. You don't have to deal with web services, and it's very nice and mimics really the server-side code that you would write for the most part to do the same thing. One interesting thing with the client object model is to make things a little bit smoother and less network intensive. We do batch things up, so what you are doing here is you're basically creating a list of commands to run when we actually call execute on our context variable. So we aren't actually executing any of this code until we call execute. We're simply building a list of commands to run. So now that I've gotten a web, I'm gonna go ahead and grab my list, and I'm gonna do that on the context, and I'm gonna grab it by title since I know the title. And in this case, it was called Team Members. All right. And then I'm going to specify, again, to just try and keep down the amount of information that's coming back and really be a good network citizen here. I'm going to set up a camel query to basically say, you know, give me a view that only includes the fields that I want. So full name, email, work phone, and the image URL, which, as I said, I'm not doing anything with right now, but I will have it in here. All right, so we've gotten this will get us back our items, Then we call get items, passing in the query. And now that we've got the items, of course, we need to also add this kind of to our list of commands to run. So we'll go ahead and do that. So we'll go ahead and say load our list. And one last step, we need to then grab our items. So what we're going to do here is load query from our items, from our context, using the items. And we want to include specific fields, the fields that we want. So again, just kind of a little bit overkill here, but I'm going to include the fields that I'd like returned into this items list. And I will add the ID, the unique ID, onto this as well in case we ever wanted to maybe add functionality, click functionality that maybe brought the contact up in an edit mode or something like that. Then the last bit that we need to do is just add our execute. So we can then say, go ahead and, not load, but we want to execute our query, and we're going to do it asynchronously. And we're going to go ahead and give it some callback. So if we succeed, we want to use this callback. And if we failed, then we want to use a failed callback. And that takes care of our code to get our list. What we do want to do is now write the rest of this here. So I'm going to first start out by just putting in our error message. And all we're doing here is just setting the text of our error message block and setting the visibility so that it's visible. Next thing I want to do, since this really does essentially the same thing, is set our failure. So we have our failed callback. Since we are in Silverlight and we are not running on the UI thread, we do need to tell it to use the dispatcher and begin invoke to run and be able to interact with our UI. And here we're doing the same thing. We're just setting the message and making it visible. And then the last piece is really just creating this the succeeded callback. So here I've got a little start here that I'll fill out for us. We have our succeeded callback. Again, since we aren't on the UI thread, we have to do the begin invoke. And of course, we will do our catch again so that if we do have any errors, we can go ahead and fix that or show those off. All right. And we just need to do a little cleanup here so that this is good. All right. Now we can write our code. Pretty straightforward code here. We're going to go ahead and create a new list of our team members, that class that we created. We'll just call it members. All right. And that way we can store, we can walk our list that comes back, store the information, the specific information, then bind that directly to it. So to walk that list, we're going to go ahead and say for each item in our items list, and we'll call that to, and we'll say to list on that. So we do get an actual list. What we want to do here is we want to call members.add, and we're going to add a new team member each time. So what I will do here is, again, just to save you from watching me type, I'm just going to go ahead and copy and paste these in. And we're just filling out our properties. So our name, our email, our phone, and we will just throw an image URL. And since that could be null, we are actually checking to see if it's null and returning the appropriate value. So the one last thing I need to do to hook this up is I need to go ahead and set up the connection to my list box. So if I come in here and set my item source equal to my members list, then I will be all set, and that will actually then take care of my data binding. If you remember from my sample, one of the things I did have is I did have this set up to run out of browser. So if I come in here for my properties and make sure that I have enable running out of browser checked, then I can save everything, build it, and once the build succeeds, I can flip back over to my site and finish the process. So I will first add a document, and we will browse. And this was in our SharePoint folder. We call it contact list. So we'll go into contact list and debug, and we'll grab our zap file. Say OK. And then the last piece to hook it up is to simply add the Silverlight web part to our page. So if I go under Insert, web part. I want to right-click on this document and copy the shortcut so I have it. Put my cursor down here. And then the last thing I need to do is under Media and Content, we now have a Silverlight web part, which makes adding Silverlight into your SharePoint site even easier than it was in 2007, because all I have to do now is point it at a zap file sitting on my server or anyplace else, and go ahead and click OK, and it will then implement that for me. So there we see, if I save the page and let it load back up in view mode, you'll see that we now have the Silverlight web part installed and running inside SharePoint. And if we wanted to do the out of browser, I could simply click Install and let it go ahead and say OK. And here you see that we have now running our Silverlight out of browser application, also pulling it in, just like we did at the beginning when I showed you the finished project. So I hope you find this useful, and we'll consider enhancing your SharePoint sites with Silverlight applications in the future and giving your users a very nice visually appealing user experience. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.